to White, and White inside the 10 sets up a first and goal.
How special was that play?
That was a great play. I mean, I had no idea. You got in space. I have no idea what the hell's going on. I don't know what's illegal to hit or dive or...
What?
No way the ball's getting to me. And next thing you know, James running by me, and I said,
Dale Arnold.
I'm like, holy shit.
Rich Keefe.
We're talking about how I'm not in shape.
Dale and Keith, middays.
I've heard of a Billy Goat, but the Brady Goat won tonight.
Yep.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Last night sort of felt like, you know, the final game of the World Series. It was like, it was so easy at the end. You were relaxed. You were calm, sitting on the chair, just, okay, let's... Come on, let's get this clock moving. Let's get going here.
The end was a whole lot better.
Yeah, that's
early
what I mean.
On, you're like, what the hell is happening here? Yeah, by the end, nice, smooth finish. That's how the game probably should have played out.
It's like when the Sox were up 5-1 in the ninth. It's like, okay, all right, fine, good. Let's go.
Yeah, good, no real
we
pressure.
We could even put Craig Kimbrell in, we'd be okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're not
fine.
Going to.
No. Don't, please don't. But you could.
We're not
going to
test
away with it.
It.
Right, yeah, with Aaron Rodgers has the ball down 14, it doesn't feel nearly the same as if you were only down 7, so yeah.
I tweeted this out last night. Now, the Patriots played last night without their best offensive lineman, in my opinion, Shaq Mason.
Yes.
Without their best running back, in my opinion, Sony Michel. I got into this Twitter argument with a guy. Clearly, to me...
Best running back.
James White is the best receiving back.
Yeah.
The best running back is Sony Michel. Clearly.
Yeah.
And they don't... By the way, that's why we saw so much of Cordarrelle Patterson. They don't even want James White running with the football.
Who, by the way...
Was pretty darn good.
I need to apologize to somebody else. He was pretty good running the ball.
And then without the all-world tight end... They put 31 up on the board.
Right.
They got stopped on 4th and 1.
Right.
I hated both 3rd and 4th down play calls.
Those were bad calls.
Hated the play calls.
Yeah.
So what are we going to say about the Patriots this week? What are we going to bitch about this week? Because it's what we do around here.
Well, I mean, if you want me to bitch about something, it's not really a bitch. It's more of a long-term concern. Gronk has missed 2 of the last 3 games. I mean, that's right there. Gronk and Sony Michel. And
by the way, the 2 games that he hasn't played, they're 2-0 and have scored 69 points in those 2 games.
Which you know he appreciates. But those two guys...
You know, it would be like, you think about, what's he thinking? They're putting up great numbers without me.
Yeah.
That would never happen in real life, but I mean, what would you do?
Well, I don't know what you would do. That you would be maybe thinking twice about some of your things. But Gordon Hayward, same way. Gordon Hayward, he was rooting against his team. He even admitted so. He's like, I don't want them to do so well because now I don't seem as important. And so Rob Gronkowski, obviously this team... I think still needs him, you know.
Yes.
But they definitely do. But that would be my concern. Like, all right, because he had the weird press conference this week. Even the media members were asking him, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "Yeah." And you knew something was off, and he kind of maybe assumed it was injury. And so he played against the Bills. It was targeted a bunch, but only had 3 catches. Didn't look right. He missed a practice. Then he was limited, and then he was out again. And then Sony Michel, who missed training camp, missed the first week of the season. Now he's missed a couple of games. You know, so those are 2 guys that are important to their offense. Because I wonder, can you get by? Is the Cordarrelle Patterson running back experience, is that going to run its course? You know,
I didn't like
he was
it much.
Good
I
last
didn't
night.
Like it much last week.
And, no, me neither.
And last night, I'm going okay. All
but
right.
I just wonder. So there was the one drive, and I'm trying to
where he had like 51 of the 69 yards or something.
But then there was another drive where he got the first carry, moved it pretty good. He got hit by a bunch of guys, got up, ran off the field, and then he didn't see him again
right.
That entire drive. And I was wondering, is this just a guy who's not used to getting hit like that? Like just because he looks good on some carries. Last night, he had one really good carry a week ago, but he had a bunch of good carries last night. But he's a kick returner. He's a guy that's going to run these end arounds and these quick screens. He's not even a true wide receiver, I don't think. Is he used to getting hit that much? And is it only a matter of time where he's like, wow, he's going to break down if you keep running him between the tackles?
I got to give him credit, though. He doesn't go down easy.
You know he doesn't.
He keeps fighting for yards. I saw where Troy Brown took a little shot at him on Twitter last night.
Oh, about his shirt?
Troy Brown said if he had his undershirt tucked in, he'd have scored on that play.
I think it was tucked in. I think the guy reached under there and pulled it out. But, I mean, yeah, no, so he was impressive. I think they need Sony Michel back.
Like, yes.
I think, long term, you just feel so much better about him getting 15 to 20 carries. Instead of Patterson. So give Patterson all the...
You mentioned Sony Michel. He
sucks.
Well, I personally would still like him back.
Yeah, I kind of would disagree with that. Hot sports take as well.
And it was too bad because
that guy's awful.
He was on his way up too. I mean, he had put together some really good games. Then the injury comes at the worst time. So those other guys have stepped up. They did score. I think the other thing you would say, you'd have to be honest with the assessment that the Green Bay Packers, they traded away their starting safety this week for whatever reasons they decided. They trade him away.
And my favorite name in the league.
Ha-ha Clinton Dix.
That's my favorite.
You're so juvenile.
I feel 12. But I still like the name a lot.
It's a great name, but he's gone. And then they suffered a bunch of injuries. Now, I know the Patriots, you just went through all the injuries they had, but the Green Bay Packers defense, which isn't a world-beating
defense. Oh, they were dropping
defense,
by anyway. The second last
night. Oh, my God. And so a couple of guys weren't there to begin, and then as the game was going on, they're losing guys left and right. The one guy who is replacing Clinton Dix gets thrown out for the worst possible reason ever to get thrown out for a game.
What a horrible call that is.
That's embarrassing. I mean, that should have been a penalty. You can't just smack
absolutely.
A guy in the face. It's a penalty.
You give him the penalty.
You can't allow that.
I mean,
but to eject him? That was so bizarre. I didn't understand that at all. But
and by the way, supposedly it had nothing to do with what he said to the official. That was the hot take on Twitter was, well, obviously it was something that he said. No.
They
went to New York. Al Riveron confirmed the ejection because of the open-handed, which, by the way, is dumb to begin with. He's got a helmet on, you dope.
But it's funny. It was that Collinsworth is like, well, you know, it's not like a punch to the helmet. I'm like, that's actually dumber.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to hurt yourself.
No,
with
you're going to really hurt
helmet.
Your knuckles.
You punch somebody in the helmet? Like, that's on you. You're an idiot. Unless you go uppercut and get him in the chin. But if you hit
David
him in the
Andrews
helmet,
going, yeah. I didn't do anything.
He just puts his hands. No, he didn't. Nothing.
Well,
nothing
he's sort of,
no, of course he did.
Fighting with him a little bit.
Of course he did. When he puts his hands up. But so the Packers definitely were, I would say, a bit undermanned defensively. But the Patriots were without three of their starters offensively. And, you know, it took until the fourth quarter to really get things going. But you're right, 31 points. I mean, they eventually did their job. Early on, you're saying, man, this is – I did not expect either defense to look as good as they did. And then, you know, then they kind of broke through there at the end.
I've got to give the Patriots defense some credit here too. And
yeah.
You know, we like to kick them around a little bit. And as has been the case in the past here, they're real big on giving up a lot of yards and then tightening things up. That's a pretty good quarterback they were playing against and some pretty good receivers. And I think they did a really good job holding that team to 17.
Yeah, they did a great job. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not going to turn the ball over. He just really isn't.
Well, he did, and then it went out of bounds recover it.
True. No, so he actually fumbled, but it wasn't a lost fumble. But right. he has one interception on the season.
Yep.
Like, so for a team that gives up a lot of yards, one of the reasons why they don't always give up a zillion points is because they find a way to cause turnovers at the right times. And they did. It happened to be on Jones when Lawrence Guy – big gain by Aaron Jones, and then Lawrence Guy causes a fumble, which is one of the biggest plays in the entire game. But Aaron Rodgers, you can't wait. Like with other quarterbacks, you just keep getting pressure on them. You keep playing well. They're going to throw interceptions. Look at what Sam Darnold threw four yesterday. You know, there are guys around the league that are just going to throw interceptions. Rodgers isn't one of them. But for them to keep them under 20 points, that's definitely impressive. They did a good job in the run game for sure.
And they dialed up more pressure on Rodgers than I've seen them dial up at anybody, especially in the second half, all season long. He threw 19 – well, he dropped back 19 times under pressure, which they don't do a lot of. And they were – Adrian Claiborne had, I thought, his best game as a Patriot.
Yeah,
and
he's looked better the last few weeks.
By the way, he only played 17 snaps.
Hey, make him count.
He made him
that's
count.
What that's what
huge.
He's doing. Yeah, no, he did. I mean, yeah, to see Rodgers' final numbers, 24 of 43 for 259, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once, quarterback rating of 89. You know, so for a guy that is certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the league, they did a great job on him. And in the coverage, some of the coverages on Jimmy Graham, whether it was Patrick Chung or Devin McCourty, you know, those guys did a good job. I thought Stephon Gilmore was great once again. He was on Devontae Adams a lot. You know, I know Adams had a touchdown, but still to hold him to 40 yards.
You're not going to stop the Green Bay Packers offense.
No, but
completely.
They did it pretty close.
No, they
especially
did a real good
NFL.
Job. Yes.
I mean, if you told me they were going to score 17 points, say, yeah, the Patriots definitely win and cover, which they did.
Which they did.
Which they did.
Not that you keep track of those
things. Nobody really matters with that stuff, but they did. And so, yeah, ultimately, you know, they close out the game strong. And, you know, to think they know Sony Michel, and yet they still ran the ball 31 times for 123 yards. That's pretty surprising. And Cordell Patterson certainly proved me wrong. I didn't know what they were doing a week ago, and I said yesterday doing the NFL Sunday show, like, I'm done with that. I'm done with that experience. Let's try something else. But they didn't add anybody at the deadline. Sonny Michel, he was going to work it out pregame, he and Gronk. Neither guy could go. So they obviously were prepared to go back to Patterson, who ended up with actually, White did have more carries by the end of it. He had 12 carries.
Right.
Patterson had 11. But still, Patterson looked to be the more elusive, or at least the guy that was harder to bring down, which was pretty surprising to see.
I'll give NBC credit for my favorite stat of the night. They had a big full-page graphic that they had up last night, which was the record against Hall of Fame quarterbacks and likely inductees.
Oh, that was a great stat. And I love that.
I've updated it since last
night.
Sounds
like a Keith Key almost.
So Brady is now 20-11 with a .645 winning percentage against Hall of Fame quarterbacks and likely inductees.
Well, the guys that they think will get in.
Right.
From this
likely.
Era. Well, yeah.
So Rodgers was second. He now falls down to third. He's now 7-7. Drew Brees is 11-10, .524 winning percentage. Peyton Manning, 452, 14-17.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger, 6-11, .353 winning percentage. So,
yeah,
you know,
so those are the five.
We were having all this discussion last week. Yeah, I know. We were having all this discussion
that sounds
last
like
week
sleigh bells.
About, you know, let's go find a couple of goats in Bedford and stick jerseys on them. You know, who's the goat and all
why
that stuff.
They do that,
I don't
by the
know
way. What was that?
And the goats were not friendly either.
No, they were headbutting each other. I got a concussion there, guys. They should have shown one of the goats going into the blue tent like afterwards. Like, he's not. He's going to get checked up, and then he's going to get out of there.
So if I look at just that chart there,
yeah,
I'd say, What are we talking about here?
Well, it's kind of funny. When they first had the graphic, and at that point, Rodgers still had a winning record because he hadn't lost that game yet. And I agree. Those are the five guys that I think, really, since 2001, those are the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. And you can rank them any way you want. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger. Anybody else, Philip Rivers, Eli, they're not there. They're not in that group. So those are the five guys that probably all will be Hall of Famers. And when they first put the graphic up, I'm like, you could almost rank them in that order because based on the record they have against each other, I might even go Brady, Rodgers, Brees, Manning, although maybe that's just too low on Manning, and then Roethlisberger. But I thought that was a pretty impressive stat. And so now Brady has, what, 20 wins in 31 games against those guys? That is pretty strong.
He also is now 11-2 against Super Bowl winning quarterbacks since 2013.
Oh, that's pretty.
11-2.
That's pretty serious.
By the way, last night he passed Peyton Manning for the most yards from scrimmage, regular season and playoffs, in the history of the National Football League.
Pretty good. And
they didn't stop the game, bring his family out?
And he's not.
They
should have. If it was Drew Brees, they would have.
Oh, are you
kidding?
If
it was Drew Brees, they would have stopped the game. They would have had, like,
they might still be out there.
They would have brought out, like, a podium. He would have given a speech. They definitely would have done it. Meanwhile, Brady finds out about it in the post game. He's like, I did what? Like, he doesn't know. Brees knows every single number, and it makes you sick. Brady's also further away now from his 1,000-yard rushing.
Was it the first half kneel downs where he was trying to go forward on the kneel down? He was trying to save yards?
Because every time you take a knee, it's usually
you lose a yard, one or whatever. He actually moved forward on the kneel down. I'm going, come on.
Don't do that.
Is this a thing?
Because some maniac on the other side is going to come jumping over the pile.
Exactly.
You're not supposed to be doing that. Just take a step back and take a knee.
As he said this morning on Kirk and Callahan, it's kind of an embarrassing milestone, really.
It is. He's been in the league a long time. Long time.
And he's self-deprecating about it and joking about it. I love the fact that they pulled a trick play out of the back of the playbook and ran it to perfection, although
I love that play.
Tom's whole blocking thing, maybe I don't want him out there.
He didn't even really get in the way. At least last week when he got pancaked, at least he took time away from Lorenzo Alexander for making a play.
Weren't you half expecting somebody to pancake him when he's down there jogging along?
Yes, I did. But I did love that play, though.
Oh, the play was great.
That's a fun play, especially when you have a guy like Edelman who can just toss it so well.
As he'll tell you.
You might as well.
Over and over.
Hey,
and
he can do it. The guy can throw it. So that was a fun play, and White almost even got in on that play. So that was good.
How special was that play?
That was a great play. I mean, I had no idea. You got out in space. I have no idea what the hell's going on. I don't know what's illegal to hit or dive or, you know, cut. And I thought, no way the ball's getting to me. And next thing you know, James is running by me, and I said, you know, just as he's running by me, because I probably could have made a play to get him a touchdown, but live and you learn.
Tom, let me help you out on this. It's illegal for you to hit anybody.
Don't do anything.
It's, you're not.
That's all you need is a trick play, and then Brady gets called for like a hold.
I'm not even worried about the hold. I'm worried about him getting killed down there.
Or just getting crushed. Yeah, just get out of the way. That's fine. He's a big guy running down the field, but just get out of the way. Let James figure it out. He'll break the tackle.
He won't. You know,
it doesn't matter.
And then we'll
another play
another day.
Line up. You got a first down anyway, and you can score after that. But I love when they work those little gadget plays.
Now,
they got a million of them.
We talked about neither of us like the play calls on the two plays at the goal line, third and goal and fourth and goal.
Yeah, those
and
are
I
weird.
Understand they had everything packed in the middle. The quarterback sneak's not going to work. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. I hate the fade pass. Now, I don't expect that Josh Gordon's going to fall down, but I hate the whole premise of it.
Yeah, he lost his footing. I don't know what that was. That's very uncharacteristic of Josh Gordon.
You have the best receiving running back in the National Football League. Here's an idea. We only need a yard. Let's swing it out to him.
Yeah, I would have thrown to him. They said they tried running it with him. And then even Patterson, he landed on his butt on the one. I wonder if they don't feel comfortable giving Patterson the ball in the goal line yet, but I feel like he was so hard to bring down yesterday. That might have even been a better option. Like, let's see. The Packers, there was that one drive where they just couldn't take him down. So I would have maybe tried one of those plays again. I would have gone right back to Patterson. But, yeah, there were some kind of screwy plays. You know, the one was he kind of like rolling out a little bit. Like, I didn't really like the look of that.
The one where he
threw
it directly into the face mask of the Green Bay defensive back.
That could have been 6 points the other way. Like, that
Chris Hogan's going, hey!
Like, what was that? Yeah, no, I didn't care for that one. That was sort of, that was odd. That was uncharacteristic of them. I'm glad they went for it. It would have been terrible. I would not have wanted to kick it.
No, yeah, I wanted to go for it on fourth and
goal.
But
I didn't like that. Yeah, I didn't like
that. I had no issues with that. I didn't like the play calls. But as we said, they scored 31 points and got stopped on fourth and one.
Right.
Should have scored 38.
Right. I mean, they're scoring in the 30s consistently every week. You know, and that's what their offense has turned into. And then that way, you don't need an all-world defense. You just need a defense that's good enough and a defense that appears to be getting better. Right? Like, I still don't think... First of all, there's not really any great defenses, right? Like, we've talked about this before. Like, how many great defenses?
I thought the Rams were a great defense.
I thought the Rams
were. New Orleans
were,
lit them up.
I thought the Jaguars were. I thought
Minnesota's
the Vikings were.
Pretty good.
They're pretty good. The Ravens, I mean, Ravens have a good defense. I know they just gave up 23 to the Steelers yesterday, which isn't a ton, but there's no 2000 Ravens. There's not even like
right,
an 0-1, 0-2 Bucks. Like, there's those teams, I don't think. I don't even know if there's the Legion of Boom from the Seahawks from a few years ago. So as long as you don't have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense or the Raiders defense or the Falcons defense, as long as you don't have one of those defenses and your offense is really good, then I think you can win. And that's where the Patriots are at right now.
Here's the schedule for today. James White is scheduled to join us at around 11:30. Trey Flowers around 11:45. And then Rob Ninkovich will join us here in studio at Gillette at noon. It is a Patriots Monday. We'll do a whole lot of football today. It was fun to see Alex Cora and the Red Sox there. Here's my fear.
What's your
fear? They've been to the Celtics game.
Yes.
They've been to the Patriots game.
Yes.
The Bruins finally play at home tonight.
They got to be there.
There's going to be like two guys left.
Well, that's all right. That's okay.
Brock Holt will be there.
Brock Holt, JD Martinez, right? He'll probably be there. Cora? Why wouldn't Cora?
That'd be good.
He'll be there.
The Bruins will make up jerseys for them, just like the Patriots
did.
Yeah,
you'd want to get a sweater, wouldn't you?
Get
yourself a Bruins sweater.
I mean, the Celtics thing, I don't blame them. You know, men who aren't playing basketball in tank tops is not a good look for me.
What about at the beach? Can't wear a tank at the beach?
Not a fan.
Oh, come on.
No, not a fan.
Why not? Because you don't want to get burned on your chest, but you want a little arm. Get a little color
arm
burn. Yeah, I want a little arm burn. That's what I usually go for. I don't hate a jersey or a tank at the beach. You're going to pop the top anyway to go in the water.
Exactly. You don't need the tank.
All right. So what, are you sitting there with a long sleever?
No, just a T-shirt.
All right.
617-779-7937. This will give us a chance to talk with you guys about what you saw last night and whether or not it has changed your opinions. I mean, I think most people around here kind of had Brady ahead of Aaron Rodgers anyway.
Yeah, I think certainly.
And based on the whole goat headbutting controversy, it was clear to me that Brady was a better headbutter.
But the way the build-up, yeah, it's true. He won that fight, too, in Bedford.
Yeah.
But the way the build-up was, too, if Rodgers and the Packers beat the Patriots, that also wouldn't really have determined anything. Like, the Michael Jordan, I was like, well, like play it out on the field. Like, it doesn't matter. It's a one-off.
By the way, did you hear Brady thought he was talking about LeBron, too?
Oh, really?
They asked the two quarterbacks. Rodgers thought it was cool, very nice.
Yeah.
When they talked to Brady about it, he thought Michael Jordan was talking about him and LeBron. I said, really? He's like,
ooh, that's us.
He's got a busy schedule. You know, he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, they could use the same thing. I mean, same number, right? Now that he's 23 again.
That's what he said. Yeah, you know, same number. I mean, that's what I think NBC was trying to do anyway.
Titles, talent. Yeah, it's all good.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Keith, I have some very big news for you.
Let's hear some very big news, Dale.
From Darren Revelle. Just in. NFL strikes deal with Epic Games.
Oh.
Starting Friday, gamers can go into Fortnite's in-game store and outfit their character in any NFL jersey and add any number.
Oh, this is exciting. When is this? Friday?
Starting Friday.
So Chris Scheim, who is our resident Fortnite expert, he's working with us tomorrow. I'll tell you right now, he's not going to be working with anybody on Friday because that's what he's going to be doing.
That's how
he's going to be spending his time. Fortnite is, I don't play it a lot anymore, but they are geniuses because the game is free. So everybody, no matter what you have, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, you play Fortnite, and then you end up spending money with all this other nonsense. So if you want, like, oh, I need my guy to wear a Patriots jersey, which a lot of people will, and you're going to spend money on it. And so the NFL is getting money. Epic Games is getting money. It's genius.
It's all good.
Very smart.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. You can text us if you'd like at 37937. We won't read them, but somebody back there will.
Oh, Dale, come on.
Broke down the fourth wall, did I?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
I was trying to be honest.
Someone's texting right now going, no.
You mean Jason Rossi gets to read this? Yay.
Yeah, he's monitoring that. That's one of the thousand things he's doing right now.
He doesn't have much going on back there.
Hey, whoa.
I'm saying you do. I'm saying Dale's the one that's saying is suggesting you don't.
Both are very sarcastic.
I'm saying you got sort a lot of, going on.
We are juggling back here.
You're recapping Crown Jewel for us. You're going to let us know how that went.
I have a friend who worked it.
Who went to Saudi Arabia?
Who one of the technical crew.
Wow.
And I haven't talked to him since he returned. But
he did return? Mm. Yeah, I would figure that out first before you start talking about it.
Well, hopefully he's back.
I'm nervous.
And hopefully I'll be able to talk to him about
it
and see what it was like.
All right.
All right, let's kick it off with Nick in Sarasota. Nick, you're up first on Sports Radio's Dale and Keith.
Hey, guys. So the first thing, I just want to give you guys a little bit of a hard time about being so dismissive of Patterson last week. Both you guys were kind of like, yeah, fail.
It was awful last week.
Oh, I was very dismissive. And I apologized to him like a man, because that's what I am. And I apologized. I said, Cordero, I'm sorry. You are a serviceable running back. Yep, there it is. Play it again.
There you go, Nick.
That old tired tune. I'm very sorry. Patterson was good. He was good.
That one run he had last week, that 22-yard or whatever, I saw something in the way he ran that kind of impressed me, kind of like that second kind of like Adrian Peterson, like just running hard. All right, let's go easy here.
Yeah. Now he's not Adrian Peterson.
All right,
now.
Nick, now you apologize.
Yeah, come on, what are we doing?
I saw something in that run that implied that he had an ability to run, and you guys were just like, immediately dismissive and kind of condescending.
Well, yeah, because did you see the other 10 that he had or whatever it was? Like, those were terrible.
I saw something.
I mean, I guess you did. All right.
Real quick. The stat that they keep showing about Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady since 2008 is so ridiculous because every time they show comparable stats between the two since 2008, they forget to mention the fact that if Tom Brady had retired in 2008, he would have likely been a Hall of Fame quarterback. So the comparison since 2008 is so frustrating because they never mentioned about the fact that he would have likely been a Hall of Famer had he stopped playing in 2008. So, you know, it just frustrating to no end, you know, the comparisons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've said it a bunch. I mean, Tom Brady's had two Hall of Fame careers.
Yes.
I mean, it's really remarkable. But you could cut a line right down the middle, you know, his first 9 years in the league, his last 9 years in the league, and those are both worthy of being in the Hall of Fame.
You can't
really do that with anybody else.
And I mean, as I said last week, if it weren't for the fact that the Patriots and Packers were playing on Sunday Night Football, we wouldn't be doing this stupid Rodgers Brady, who's the greatest, idiotic conversation anyway.
Nobody in the world, not even Aaron Rodgers' family, in fact,
not even Danica Patrick.
No, certainly not Aaron Rodgers' family.
No, they're not that happy with him.
If anything, they definitely would think so. But nobody's ever said he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Nobody's ever done it. Aaron hasn't, like you said, Danica hasn't. They haven't done it. You made the comment last week, there's a better argument, who's the greatest Packers quarterback of all time?
Yeah.
I think it is Rodgers, but it could be Favre. I mean, Favre had a great career. So, I mean, there's an argument to be made there. And everybody keeps wanting Rodgers to be the best quarterback. Like, I think when you look at it, because these guys are playing older and older, like Drew Brees and Tom Brady shouldn't be this good at this age. So the league really should have been Aaron Rodgers is the last few years. But Tom Brady has stuck around and been just as good. He was the MVP a year ago. So everybody's waiting.
A lot of talk going on these days.
Yeah, there's a lot of that talk going around these days. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a two-time MVP. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's a great, great quarterback. But, yeah, it just seemed ridiculous. And you had to sort of bend and twist the argument to even make it make sense. That's why you got into, like, the talent and the abilities and the athleticism and all this other stuff.
You had to go find goats.
You had to find goats. And they did. They went to Bedford. They also did the shot that everybody loves where they come back from, they're like, Sunday Night Football, here we are, and then they show the TD Garden.
Well, they showed the Zakem and
like,
the Bruins logo.
How many miles away is this?
26.
It drives
but it's
me
close
nuts.
Enough.
You could run a marathon to there. Like, it drives me nuts. Like, here we are in beautiful Boston.
How many shots are they going to show you of Foxborough?
I'm like,
they always show that one.
They
the
should.
Pond down the road with the Swans.
But that's where
they
it
always
is.
Show you that one.
But that's where it is.
They'll show you the little park in the circle in the middle
right.
of Foxborough.
Show.
There's
all
like
the...
three shots you could show.
But that's what it is. The stadium is in Foxborough. The team is based in Foxborough. Stop showing Boston. They should show Providence. It's closer.
Could do that.
It's in Bedford, at 30 miles north of here.
Bedford.
Blueberry Goat Farm. An opinion on tonight's goat
they're
debate.
They're getting after it, man. I'd say
what
it's
are they doing
10,
up there?
Tie right
shooting
now.
Goats.
Shooting goats.
Well, not shooting ahead. Goats. Shooting.
Oh, shooting,
shooting
footage
video
of goats.
Of goats. They didn't kill the goats in the after once it was over.
A goat.
Waste a bullet.
Just choke them out. I thought that's what they were doing.
So what are you thinking?
Yeah, you sneak up on a goat, you put him in a quick sleeper. That's your job.
Joe's in Derry, New Hampshire. Hey, Joe.
I'm curious about the injured reserve list and a guy's eligible to come off in week 10. I'm concerned mainly about the kid Burkhead.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know anything about that?
I don't think there's been a recent update on Burkhead, but I believe when he originally went down, there was hope that he could be coming back. Like, I don't think they've ruled him out unless I've missed something. So I think maybe we could see him again.
I think it's week 10 that guys are eligible to come off of that. That's coming up pretty quick.
It is. We're sneaking up on it.
And well, they've got one game left and then the bye week.
I'm wondering if that's why the coach hasn't gone out and got somebody else.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, isn't it, that they didn't add anybody. Now, they brought Kenyon Barner back. Like, he was back and forth. And clearly they feel like they can give Cordell Patterson the ball, and they dodged a bullet with Sony Michel. I would think if Sony Michel, when he got hurt a couple of weeks ago, if the injury was worse, I mean, maybe I'm just assuming here, I think they would have added somebody. But they're obviously hoping that Sony Michel comes back. So now you have Michel and James White, and you know what? Maybe you still run Patterson a little bit. Not, you know, 11 carries, but maybe a few times, just so Sony Michel doesn't have to come back and get 20 carries. And then maybe you get Rex Burkhead back. I don't think they've ruled him out.
I've got to give credit to Kevin Duffy of the Boston Herald, Patriots beat reporter for the Herald, for the stat. I love this stat. In the past two seasons, the Patriots have played 20 games in November, December, and January. Okay? They held 15 of their opponents to 17 points or fewer. So they kick off November doing the exact same thing. And we've always talked about how the defense always gets better as the season goes on. And, you know, we were mocking Michael Holley last year when he said they're going to end up as a top five defense, and we were wrong.
We were right. That's right.
And Kevin Duffy's stat here, 20 games in November, December, and January the last 2 years, 15 opponents held to 17 points or fewer, and it starts off again last night.
Yeah, they get better. And last year it started sooner, right? It was the first four games they were so bad. And then week five, I think it was the game against the Bucks on a Thursday, they turned things around a little bit and they got better. This took a little bit more time. And I think part of it was the Kansas City Chiefs are probably the best offense in football. So you face them, you're going to give up a lot of points. I just feel like that's just the reality of it. But then now, you know, to go out there and Aaron Rodgers, to keep him under 20, now you're going against Tennessee. That's not a great offense. You know, then you have the bye, and then after that, you'd maybe expect more performances like this.
Yeah, then you've got, you know, Jets and Dolphins and Bills.
Blech.
You've got a Vikings game in there that's going to be tough.
Yeah, true.
Their defense
is
really good.
Their defense is pretty good. They got two great receivers, although Diggs was out yesterday, but they have maybe the best wide receiver duo in the league. So, yeah, they're going to be tough.
Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let me take you off speakerphone.
All right. Veteran move.
Yep. Nice.
First and foremost, you know, I don't like to gloat a lot, but I have to take a victory.
But allow me a moment to gloat here if I could.
It's another Cordell Patterson guy. It's Cordell Patterson victory lap day, Dale. We just got
to
wear it.
You guys laughed at me
we
2 weeks in a row, so I had to call in about it. I even tweeted you last
night. I know. I saw it on Twitter. You deserve to call in. You're right. I was wrong. You're smart. I'm dumb. You're good looking. I'm not attractive. I don't know what else I can do.
That now, seriously, you guys aren't in the business of being right. You're in the business of entertaining. You're in the business of observing what you see.
But I would like to be right every once in a while. It wouldn't hurt.
But Mike, we were also right a week ago.
Oh, absolutely.
10 of his 11 runs were not good.
But I also said I never wanted to see it again.
Well,
I was wrong about it.
But he's not going to be Barry Sanders, but he is going to be serviceable. It just makes sense. The size of the guy, the elusiveness, the power that he has when he runs, it just makes sense to plug him into somebody in an emergency situation.
I'm wondering if he's used to taking the hits, though.
Julian back there.
Because, Mike, I'm wondering if he's used to taking the hits because I thought the way he was running, it was 5.5 yards a carry. He only had 11 attempts. I thought the way he was going and proving me and other people wrong, I thought they could have given him...
Well, mainly you.
I thought they could have given him the ball more, though. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, but I heard you guys talking about the hits, but think about how bad the hits are on the kickoff return. I mean, it's got to be at least 3 times.
Yeah, you get smoked on a kickoff return occasionally, especially now. There's a lot of kneeling and maybe you run out of bounds. But let's say you get smoked on a kickoff return. Those guys then go stand on the sideline. They can clear the cobwebs for a while. Then they go back in there. Whereas if you run the ball 2-3 times in a row, I mean, you might not know where you are if you're not used to getting those hits. Like, you don't have time to recover.
Well, I'll steal a line from your show. Just toughen up, Buttercup. You
know, you're a football player. Rub some dirt on it. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or suck it up, Buttercup,
suck
which is
up,
what
Buttercup,
I prefer.
Whatever it was.
It's fine.
Rick Honeycutt, you loser. Get some thicker skin.
617-779-7937. We're going to do this once, just so you know. This is it for the week.
What does it mean once?
This is it for the week. Eric's at work. Hey,
all
Eric.
Right, Eric. What do you have, Eric? Let's make it count, Eric.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So my question for the week, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's okay. I understand. Quick thing, couple things. I was wondering, first of all, who you guys think would win in a fight between Tom Brady or Michael Vick?
Michael Vick.
Good answer. And also, I wanted to tell you a couple more things. He was asking me and my host.
No, we're good.
Eric, come on. Let's go to something else. Listen.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
I mean, honest to God. And,
next
and
thing.
I don't,
Dale's getting upset now.
Well, because honest to God, it's a one-trick pony here. I've heard
but
enough.
But if you have a skill set.
I've heard enough about a guy who hasn't played in the league in a number of years.
He has been out of the league for a while.
And by the way, the fact that he could beat Tom Brady up.
Who would you take in a fight?
Well, he's killed dogs. So
Brady
it's probably,
is pliable.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money.
Is this Steve Pierce?
But what I do have is a very particular set of skills.
See, it's the reason I brought him back today. He had resurrected his talk radio.
Well, I think it's great. I think once a week. So, Eric, I think going
I'm
forward,
sick of
listening
I know to
you're,
Michael
you're
Vick
sick
stuff.
Of the Michael Vick stuff.
Let me tell you more stuff about what he said to me in his hotel room. No, that creeps me out.
I don't know. I think I might start to miss it if we don't have it. So this is, I think...
You want to hear about what Michael Vick said to him in the hotel room?
Sometimes. I think I might. Because we don't know. It could be anything. Dale, it could be anything. It could be...
He needs to be a permanent Falls Count Anywhere Friday caller.
Oh, perfect, Rossi. Next
I've
time,
talked
Eric,
to him about it.
Good.
I still put him in here sometimes just to see. What, you never know what
there
can
is
happen.
That's a genius idea. There is nothing dumber than who would win in a fight.
No,
Tom Brady
Dale,
or Michael
are you
Vick.
Kidding me?
Dale, do you listen to the station? There's some dumber thing.
Tom Brady and Michael Vick, because chances are good they're going to slap the gloves on
it. I thought you were going to say there's nothing dumber than who would win in a fight. I'm like, no, that is
the best conversation
with anybody. But, yeah,
Tom Brady and Michael
now.
Vick. Yeah, it's probably. Okay, that makes Michael Vick the greatest quarterback who ever lived.
Because
he can beat Tom Brady
up. Don't put words in Eric's mouth. Don't you dare
do
that.
Oh, no, I think we kind of know where he
is. I think, Rossi, that is the smartest thing you've said since I've met you. Let's put him on Friday.
That's the impression you gave.
He's had a lot of things. This is how good this idea is. He's perfect for Falls Count Anywhere because we're looking to get a little weird, a little off the beaten path on a Friday. He's the perfect guy for that. So I know he likes to call in often. Let's sort of funnel that to Friday. Maybe he can have some ideas during the week. Save him for Friday, and then all bets are off.
Does he work at an outdoor pool?
I don't know. Not this time of season.
Because it always says Eric at work.
He's
and I'm
always
thinking,
at work. He calls on
I hope
Sundays.
He's, I
he's
hope
work.
He's not
he
out at some
MDC
pool that's empty, just sitting there waiting
just
for
waiting
kids
for
to
guys.
Show up.
Could be. Hey, as long as he's getting that paper, I don't blame him.
Enough money to fly just to LA and hang in Michael Vick's hotel room.
How many people do you know have done that?
One.
Yeah, him. Pretty good.
I'm just sick of hearing about
it. If you had a certain level of expertise, I think you would want to share that with people as well. And that's why he wants to call in and give you Michael Vick trivia.
I mean, Eric just resurrected his entire phone calling career here.
And then he kicked it away.
Yeah, he kind of threw it away today. But I like the idea of false count anywhere for him.
Stop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Sneaky little devil.
55 yards.
Watch the young guys of the Green Bay Packers get fooled by Tom Brady. His eyes are going to go out to the screen. He's going to, saw the two young defensive backs come flying up and threw a bullet into Josh Gordon. Watch these guys react up. Here they go. They got it. It's a screen pass. Not so much.
So we had this discussion. We were texting back and forth as the game was going on last night. And there was the question about, did Tom Brady miss Julian Edelman on the pass that Josh Gordon took down the sidelines? And I didn't think he did.
No, he did not.
And I was listening to him this morning. He said Julian thought it was going to him.
I guess that play a lot of times it does.
Right, and which is why he was jumping up
trying
to get it.
Yeah, he goes, this for me. They were both wide open.
Yeah.
Edelman was wide open.
Brady
and
saw
wide
that
open.
Gordon yeah. had the guy beat outside, and he put it exactly where he wanted.
Corners came flying in, and that's also part of, if you go to James White as often as they do, eventually a team is going to try to take that away. Usually he's wide open because they're trying to defend everybody else. That time, they came flying up, and then there's Josh Gordon wide open, and then he was able to open it up. 130 yards for Gordon overall in the game. Some great catches, too.
By the way,
like that was an easy catch and run, but the other ones were some great catches.
Dislocated his finger a couple of times.
He kept pulling it out. I'm like, that's the worst. And like that's one of those ones where guys play through it, but you know it's painful as hell. And for a guy that always catches
tape it up there, and
yeah, just like, he's got like a mitt. You know, like that's not like a mitten. Like go ahead and make a play, but he always catches the ball with his hands too. Like you see that
he
all the time.
He never brings it into his body.
No, and so that's impressive, and that was good to see because there was that. Yeah, the one that you referenced before in the end zone, he lost his footing.
He just fell down.
There was another one where I don't know if he ran the wrong route or not, but it was a third down and Brady. He didn't flip out or anything, but I think he was a little annoyed, and so it was good to see them get on the same page.
Yeah, Brady sort of laughed at when he fell in the end zone.
That one, you're like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But there was another one where I think if Gordon broke off the route, he would have been open, but I don't know if he was supposed to. Like, I don't know who screwed up, but Brady was kind of, I think, a little annoyed. So it was good that they were able to hook up at least for five catches.
I still think Brady missed some throws last night that I'm not used to seeing him miss. You know, He wasn't perfect by any means. Although in the fourth quarter he was close to being perfect.
Pretty close. Yep.
158.3 is perfect, right?
The
single dumbest stat in the history of sports is that 158.3 is perfect.
Classic 158.
Can't do better than that.
Yeah.
What?
That should be our new scale now. Like how do you feel on
how'd
a scale?
How'd the show go today? We did a 158.3.
Wow, you really another perfect show. They got like 100. Like 100. A little room for improvement there.
But he had a couple of throws again where I just think he was off by a little bit.
Yeah.
I keep reminding myself as I'm watching it. He's playing without Shaq Mason. He's playing without Sony Michel.
Yeah.
He's playing without Rob Gronkowski. He's got a wide receiver lined up behind him in the backfield.
Right, so that's different.
And yeah, that's great on a curve here, Dale.
Right, and Josh Gordon wasn't a teammate of his until the season started. You know, like so there are a lot of different things. You know, we were talking yesterday with Tommy Curran on NFL Sunday about, Tom Brady to this point, and I think a lot of it does have to do with a lot of different pieces here, you know, like Amendola and Cooks and Lewis, all those guys are gone. So there is an adjustment with all of that. And so, yeah, he's on the same page with Julian Edelman, but some of the other guys, they got to sort of get it figured out. And as you said, Cordell Patterson shows up at the camp. He's probably he's returning kicks.
That's what he's going to do.
And catching a screen pass or two.
Now you're handing him the ball.
That's just different. So they had to make those adjustments. And you know, again, you go back to the way they finished the game makes you feel a whole lot better because there were definitely times where they scored 31 points, but you also got the feeling that they left points on the board and there's still room for improvement.
I feel very confident about this offense going forward. I think you'll get Sony Michel back. I think you'll get Shaq Mason back. I think you'll get Rob Gronkowski back. By the way, don't play Gronk this weekend either.
No,
and then you got the bye week.
Give him a solid month off, pretty much.
Give it to him. Now, he's probably already kissed the bonuses goodbye anyway.
Especially. I mean, so last year he did all of those numbers that he had, whatever it was it 69 catches, 1,000?
Of course it was 61.
It was like a little over 1,000 yards and whatever it was, like 8 or 9 touchdowns, something along those lines. And he did that in 14 games. Because he had the suspension mixed in there, too. Because it was a pretty healthy year for him, but he did that in 14 games. And so now, best case scenario, he plays in 14 regular season games, but he's way off the pace. After that great week one performance, still sitting on just one touchdown, which is so extremely rare. So I think the incentives are definitely gone, but I think just him being healthy, that's what's frustrating him the most. Like, he just doesn't feel right.
Adam Schefter tweeted it out yesterday morning that there was concern within the Patriots organization about both Gronk and Michelle being able to play last night. They both went into the Sunday being listed as questionable and all that. Now, I don't know if they did the whole workout thing. I was at a memorial service prior to the game, so wasn't following along on Twitter or anything like that. Did they do the whole, hey, Rob's out?
All of a sudden, inactives came out at 6:50 for the 8:20 kickoff, and that's where you saw both those guys were on there. So you knew there was a chance, because the only other Patriot-related thing that even Schefter highlighted was Julian Edelman, also questionable, is expected to play. So that's all he really got. And if you read into both of them, he was really right about both. Like, he was kind of hedging, but he was basically telling everybody Edelman's going to play, and these guys are really 50-50, maybe even leaning towards the other way. So I didn't see it. If there was, I didn't see any video of those guys being out there. I didn't read anything until we got the inactives, and you're like, all right, that's as star-studded a list of inactives as we've seen all season.
Patriots are in Tennessee Sunday, finally a Sunday at one game, which...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
We're not used to it, but no. They play at 1 o'clock at Tennessee.
A lot of former Pats
Mike
down
Vrabel,
there. Malcolm Butler.
I'm just picturing
Lewis.
Tom Brady picking on Malcolm Butler all day.
Everybody has been this year.
He has had an awful year.
He's not been very good. He's still so shook up by not playing in the Super Bowl. It has affected him.
It's rolled forward.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. That kind of rocked his confidence. It would do the same to you, I think, Dale.
No, I think I'd overcome
it. You bounce back from that nicely?
9 months later.
Well, he got paid, so he's fine. But Logan Ryan down. I mean, they got a bunch of Patriots, but not a great team.
If there was even a question about Rob Gronkowski,
don't play him.
No, don't play.
Yeah.
Give him this week off. He had yesterday off. Give him next week off. He's got the bye week after that. By then, by the time you start to get close to Thanksgiving, he should be feeling pretty good about himself.
I mean, same with Sony Michel.
And I don't know how close he is.
I don't know either.
He practiced all week where Gronk didn't.
Yeah, Gronk missed Wednesday's practice. But you wonder, because they played on Monday night, if that was a little bit different circumstance. I'm not sure. But I think with both those guys, they're in such a good spot. I mean, they're 7-2. They need the Chiefs to lose another game, but they have that tiebreaker with Kansas City.
Right.
And the division's awful. Like, the division, I mean, I guess the Dolphins' record isn't terrible, but you don't expect anything from them. And the other two teams are already toast.
The bloom is off the rose a bit for Sam Darnold, huh?
Yeah, it is. And
after week one?
He looked great.
Here we go.
I do think his team is terrible. Like, I think it's one of those things where his line is really bad.
He's also terrible, too. He threw 4 interceptions against Miami when he held onto the ball for more than 2.5 seconds.
Yeah.
He leads the NFL with 9 interceptions on throws taking 2.5 seconds or more. You can't hold on to it that long.
Yeah, he had the
You don't have that long.
No, you don't. He had the great week one, and then that's been it. And I've been all over the map with him because I never liked him at college. I remember he was like a projected number one pick for a long time. Thought he was awful. He turned the ball over a lot in college. Then they loved him in spring. Then I watched that whole week one game against the Lions. I'm like, oh, this guy looks great. Like he was accurate. He obviously has a really strong arm. And then since then, he has been a mess. And he's just been throwing picks like crazy. They're bad. The Bills are even worse. So, yeah, they're going to run away with the division again. So just get the guys healthy.
I gave Rich this stat a few moments ago off the air. The Bills have scored 3 offensive touchdowns total in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, that seems low.
Opposing defenses have 4 touchdowns against the Bills in the last 6 weeks.
So, I mean, they're so bad.
You've now got a two-game lead over the Dolphins now.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you're going to have this thing wrapped up at Thanksgiving.
But it is still amazing. Going back to the Bills just for a second, in a league where it is easier and easier to score 30, 40 points. I mean, they're asking you to do it. The rules are set up for you to score zero.
They're inviting
points.
You.
They can't. They refuse to do it. They keep trotting out Nathan Peterman. They go to Peterman. They try somebody else. That guy gets hurt. They go back to Peterman. Like, why Peterman's even on a roster at this point is beyond me. How he's in the league is beyond me. Like, there's got to be somebody else they can have. And they had A.J. McCarron on their roster in camp and decided to trade him away. Like, ah, we're good. And then they went with Peterman. Then they went with Allen. Allen got hurt. They bring out Derek Anderson out of, like, retirement. And then they go back to Peterman. They're just a disaster.
According to Adam Schefter, former Raiders second-round pick, Obi Melifonwu, is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think, sure.
Who Oakland released October 23rd, is signing with the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
Right. So Schefter just tweeted that out minutes ago.
Hmm.
So a former Raiders second-round pick, Obi Melifonwu, signing with the Patriots today, according to Adam Schefter.
So now everybody has to learn how to pronounce his name.
I just gave it the best I could.
No,
but I got to be honest.
I think you nailed it.
It was a wing and a prayer.
I think you did it. All right, so interesting. Because I was wondering, too, you know, they didn't make any moves at the deadline, right? And you were looking
surprisingly
to see, which was very surprising. I was wondering, Bruce Irvin? I haven't seen it. I don't know, Rossi, if you've seen if he's signed anywhere yet or what his deal is, but Bruce Irvin's a guy that I think could be interesting if you wanted to add another pass rusher. I think he was a first-round pick. He's been on a couple of teams in the league. He wants to go to a winner, by all accounts. I think he'd be a guy to bring in here and you know, beef up the old pass rush a little bit.
Well, they've made, apparently, or are making a roster addition today. And they've got that I'll use the old term. They've got that Rolodex going all the time. They're,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're adding to it. They're bringing guys in. They're working guys out. They're checking them out. You know, they're always thinking about if we need this, if we need that.
I wonder why, because don't you think, I think they're pretty well off at safety, but I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt to bring in somebody else. But those
second-round pick?
Those guys have played pretty well for them. I mean, that's not, out of all the positions where you would add depth, like running back, tight end, you know, even linebacker.
Unless they know something we don't know about the health of somebody down the hall here.
So
well, let's assume they do know more than we do.
They
about virtually
they
everything.
I would hope that I would hope
related
so.
To the
yeah,
team.
No,
yeah,
no, they would. So I mean, and maybe there's somebody else. Or again, it's hard to get too caught up in some of their transactions because like, oh, they're bringing in Benny Fowler. Then tomorrow he's gone. So it's like I don't know some of the method to their
madness. I didn't
even
learn his number yet. What do you mean he's gone already?
See you later. May not have even gotten a number.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.